Good evening and welcome to the Oceana Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for November 12, 2008. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Brookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Mann.
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3 is public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item within...
Fun to sit on your board. First of all, I'm really going to miss the podium. You know, I've come fond to this podium, but I really want to thank the voters of Oceano for turning out and exercising their rights to vote and casting their vote. And I think the people have spoken. And it was really inspirational to me to see people turn out and be so excited about an election and looking forward to the future. I really do want to thank a lot of people, too. People were really very wonderful to me while I was doing this campaign. Mr. Hill, you know, with all your wisdom, you worked side by side with me, and you know, we had a clear eye on a goal, and it was really a pleasure working with you to reach that goal for the better of the community. You know, and Lynn Hill constantly... I called her the drill sergeant at home, but without Lynn pushing me all the way, you know, I wouldn't have been out there beating the cements as much, and I want to thank her. The Guytons and most of the businesses in town were really, really very, very gracious to us and letting me hang my sign without knowing me as well as they knew President Hill. But I want to put a special thanks out to, you know, the Guyton family and all the businesses along Pierce Street, but especially to Director Mann. Barbara, you not being on the ballot, you were such an inspiration to keep going, and I really, really appreciate that. And I want to thank you, and I know you put a lot of energy into this campaign, and I really, really commend you and admire you for that, so thank you. And I hope that in the future that Director Dean and Director Dahl, that we can look to the future and work together. I hope we can get to that point. And I really look forward to it. And I know I have a lot more to say, but I only have 3 minutes still. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time?
President Hill, I'd like to make a brief comment as public comment. This has to do with the election as well. During the election, there was an article that appeared, I believe, on October 31st regarding the election and the status of one of the candidates. And in that election, in that article, I was quoted as having made some statements to the reporter involved. And I just want to put it to me, they did. When they came back to me, they said the reporter told them that she had tried to contact me several times, had left several messages. I hadn't returned her call. So she had sent me an email, and the quote was taken from the email. That's a complete and total fabrication. There was no email communication. I'm not perfect, and occasionally I miss a phone message or don't return it, but there were not several phone messages to me that I might have missed. I asked them to produce the email that was involved so I could see it. Got a phone call the next day saying, gosh, they couldn't do it. The email had been destroyed. It didn't exist. I asked them to give me the email address from which it was sent, because at my office we have a spam filter, and every email that comes to me at my email address, and I only have one, goes through that spam filter. They're retained for 5 to 6 months, whether they're delivered or not, and you can go back and you can verify. And you can sort and search for an email address. So they provided me with 2 email addresses that it may have come from. I searched them both. No email, not even one stuck in the spam filter. So I'm not suggesting that anything be done with the reporter. I'm basically done with this. I just wanted to make sure it was clear and on the record that the conversations never took place. It was not a matter of a misunderstanding. They just didn't happen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none, brings us to board member items for discussion. Start with Vern.
No, I have nothing.
Barbara.
Nothing.
Pamela.
Nothing.
Bill.
Not at this time.
I just have two comments, I guess, after noticing some weeds and stuff growing up in various areas. Are we still possibly having the potential for weed abatement?
Yes.
And I also had a call from one of the trailer parks, Duna Vista, the mobile home park, that there was apparently some large wood chip pile or something like that was a potential fire hazard or other that might be in the process of abatement.
The closed session is shown out of order. It was moved up that evening. And it doesn't reflect that Director Mann left at 10:45. And the time of adjournment actually was 12:02 a.m.
Comment or questions from the board? First of all, questions. Comment or from the public on the minutes? I do have one other comment on the minutes of September 24th. I think the under 10B on page 3, that the review of district powers was water, sewer, parks and rec, fire protection, solid waste, and street lighting. And I apologize for not getting that earlier, but I just had a chance to read these. If that represents council's recollection there.
I don't have a recollection.
Do we want one motion for all three sets of minutes?
That would be fine.
I move that we accept the minutes as presented with the corrections for September 24th included.
And that would be for September 24th, September 28th, and October 6th?
Correct.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes as corrected for September 24th and as presented for September 28th and October 6th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item number 6 is reports. This evening we have Commander Brian Haskell from the Sheriff's South Station. Welcome, Commander.
Thank you. Good evening. But we'll have to confirm that through the investigation. Then I have a couple of items I wanted to bring up. We have the holidays approaching yet again, and it seems like every year the number of people who do their Christmas shopping online increases exponentially. Our concern is people who are buying their gifts over the internet and having them delivered to their residences. If you are doing that, we're asking that everybody either be home to receive them or have an alternate place for them to be delivered. What we find this time of the year is people have them left on their front doorstep, and it makes a very easy theft incident for somebody to get involved in. So that's what we're asking, to try to reduce the amount of theft that occurs during the holiday season. The other item, last week on Thursday, we had a rather horrific traffic accident on Pomeroy Road near Ten Oaks Way. It involved a Napomo High School junior who was driving to school with his 10-year-old sister in the vehicle. He was temporarily blinded by the sun as he came along the straightaway on Pomeroy and hit a septic tank pumping truck almost head-on. I was one of the first people on scene because I live right near there, and I have to say it was one of the worst accidents I've seen where somebody survived. Luckily, the 16-year-old had a broken leg and some other injuries, and his sister had an arm that was broken in three places. The reason I bring this up is this time of the year with the time change, we have a lot of streets that have a direct sun exposure to people who are driving on them early in the morning trying to get to work. And we're asking everybody to take as many precautions as they can to try to minimize the what the sun can do to you while you're driving. Specifically, keep your inside of your windshields very clean, wear sunglasses, and use your sun visor so that you can maintain the best amount of view that you can. A determination was made that he was temporarily blinded by the sun and then crossed over into the opposing lane of traffic and struck the septic truck. They were both traveling at a fairly high rate of speed, so there was a lot of damage. And it took the jaws of life about 25 minutes with the firemen to cut him out of the wreckage. So just something I bring along as a safety tip to everybody. And that's all I have for this evening, if anybody has any questions.
We also have ads coming out in the next CSDA magazine and Western Cities, as well as another posting and jobs available. As far as the accounting clerk advertising goes, we have sent out 55 applications. We've received 11. Out of the 11, 3 are fluent in Spanish. It closes on Friday, and we're hoping everybody's waiting until the last minute. That's all I have.
Thank you. Utility Department, Phil?
I don't have my monthly report either. However, I would like to update you on the engine we're attempting to purchase to replace the Rolls-Royce. We're mainly having to deal with the Air Pollution Control Board to get one that won't have to be shut down in 2 or 3 years, or some of them even next year. But anyway, as I'll quote Kevin, sounds like more money will fix it. And, of course, that's what we're finding. The engines that meet the California smog regulations are cost more because there's a real big market for them right now. So I was hoping I'd have some good news, but one of the gentlemen at the Air Pollution Control District hadn't got back to us yet. So we'll just continue on.
Okay. Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Fire Department Operations, Captain Leathers.
For 30 seconds here.
For a minute there, I thought you were the new general manager. So.
No, I know. I'm not used to this spot over here, so I'm not really, seat's starting to burn here. During October, we went to 61 calls. 34 of those were in Oceano, 9 in Grover, 10 in AG, and 7 were with CAL FIRE. We had one on the beach. And of the 34 that were in Oceano, we had 24 that were EMS related, 4 fires, and 6 just miscellaneous public service assists, you know, that type of stuff. This puts us, as time of report, at 631 calls. This time last year, we were at 735. So we're about 100 or so calls, you know, behind what we were last year, which is good. But the rainy season is coming up, so that'll obviously boost us up quite a bit for different calls. The three departments, we've completed all of our swift water rescue training, and we've also completed normal way. In the same sense, the alternator going out, our batteries, which were 10 years old, went out also, so we also got the batteries replaced. One thing that we are going to be requesting is a new set of tires for the rear of the engine, 4 of them total. It's down to the DOT wear bar, so it's to the point of, especially with the water coming into the rainy season, we're going to need to get those replaced. Our fire association, the fire engine, there should be a picture of her around here somewhere. We should be getting it back next week. It's going in right now, getting painted. So hopefully it'll be in a nice shiny red color once we get it back. There's a company up on the Mesa that's doing it for us. So it'll be ready for the parades coming up. Sort of good news for the Assistance to Firefighter Grants. Sounds like they've been asking for some more information regarding accounts. So that's usually a good sign that we're going to be getting our grant this year for the exhaust system and new lockers for outside. And last but not least, Captain Bova, driver operator Collada, and firefighter Wathen are over in Fresno right now doing a training symposium. Captain Bova and Collada are doing a rescue systems class to do any kind of search and rescue stuff, and firefighter Wathen is doing a driver operator class. And we continue to do our alley parking signs. We're just about done with the east side of town, and we're getting ready to work on the west side. And that concludes the report.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions from the board? Comment from the public on the reports?
Here. My name's Carl Tucker. I live in the mobile home park at the end of Pike. I thought we had a new city manager.
Our interim general manager is not here tonight.
Oh. But, okay.
Right.
I thought I heard her saying she was accepting applications for it.
No. For the permanent position. He's our interim general manager, yes, Kevin Walsh.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I get confused.
Okay. Item 7 tonight, we have no fire items. I'd like to take item 9.
Confidential personnel matter, and for that reason, I've intentionally not included the names of the parties involved. The matter's been placed on the agenda at Director Bookout's request under the district's rules of order. That's Rule 2.3C. While the district staff must honor that request, it was made against my advice for two reasons. One, the matter involves a sensitive and confidential personnel matter and potentially exposes the district to liability. And two, as the matter has developed, handling it falls exclusively within the general manager's purview and not that of the board. The discussion on the matter is as follows. In late July of this year, then General Manager O'Reilly contacted me to discuss certain electronic files that had been discovered on the district's computer network and did not appear to relate to district business. Most of the files related to certain civic and charitable work occurring several years ago, but some clearly were of a personal nature. The use of district equipment for personal reasons is prohibited by district policy and is generally prohibited by Government Code Section 8314A, which states, quote, "It is unlawful for any elected state or local officer, including any state or local appointee, employee, or consultant, to use or permit others to use public resources for a campaign activity or for personal or other purposes which are not authorized by law," close quote. Certain exceptions exist in the law, and I'll describe them in a moment. General Manager O'Reilly requested direction from me regarding the appropriate action to take. After consultation with representatives of both the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department and the District Attorney's Office, copies of the documents were forwarded to the Sheriff's Department for investigation to see if any criminal provisions of California law had been violated, and if so, how to proceed on the matter. The Sheriff's Department conducted its investigation. The investigator ultimately concluded that in this case, the use of the district's equipment either did not violate Government Code Section 8314A or fell within the exceptions to that section, which are contained in subsection B1 and subsection B2, which provide, quote, one, personal purpose means any activities, the purpose of which is for personal enjoyment, private gain or advantage, or an outside endeavor not related to state business. Personal purpose does not include the incidental and minimal use of public resources, such as equipment or office space, for personal purposes, including an occasional telephone call. Two, campaign activity means an activity constituting a contribution as defined in Section 82015 or an expenditure as defined in Section 82025. Campaign activity does not include the incidental and minimal use of public resources, such as equipment or office space, for campaign purposes, including the referral of unsolicited political mail, telephone calls, and visitors to private political entities. Close involved could have some civil liability to the district for use of the district's equipment. I asked him to determine, if he could, what costs the district may have incurred by the use or any fair market use value that might have been associated with the equipment use. A few days later, on October 7th, General Manager O'Reilly advised that after some work analyzing the material, he was not able to come up with any basis for a charge, and that if he could, it likely would be de minimis. Following that, I advised General Manager O'Reilly that no further action was warranted as to any civil liability. Following completion of the civil liability review, General Manager O'Reilly asked me to review the matter in connection with the district's policies. Pursuant to Resolution 1999-21, the district adopted an electronic mail internet use policy and guidelines. In general, the policy and guidelines prohibit use of the district computer system for anything other than official district business. By its terms, it applies to both district employees and elected officials. The only punishment imposed for violation of the policy is, quote, termination of system access, disciplinary action up to and including termination of employment, and or criminal prosecution, close quote. On October 8th, I advised General Manager O'Reilly that, one, as discussed above, criminal prosecution was not an option. Two, to the extent that a district employee may be involved, the exclusive right to determine whether a violation occurred and to impose discipline rests in the general manager's sound discretion. If the general manager determines that discipline is warranted, he could impose it, and the employee involved has the right to appeal the decision to the board of directors. The board otherwise has no involvement in the process. Three, to the extent that a district elected official may be involved, the right to determine whether a violation occurred and to terminate system access also rests in the general manager's sound discretion. If the general manager determines that such action is warranted, he could impose it, and the elected official involved similarly has a right to appeal the decision to the board of directors. Again, the board otherwise has no involvement in the process. Current status. The current status. While I have not spoken with him regarding the matter, my impression is that before his departure, General Manager O'Reilly determined that overall, the policy violations involved has purged the files from the computer system and provided them to me on a CD-ROM for eventual disposal. So my summary, conclusion, and recommendation is that at some time in the past, one or more persons, likely current or former district employees and or an elected official, made improper use of some district computer equipment. The full extent of the use cannot be determined at this time. It is possible that the use violated criminal and civil statutes, so an investigation was conducted. The Sheriff's Department ultimately determined that no criminal liability existed, and I have determined there is no basis for determining the extent of any civil liability. The matter was also reviewed in connection with district policies, and it was determined that a policy prohibiting such use likely was violated. The policy creates limited remedies that rest in the general manager's discretion. The general manager considered the same and determined that no further action was warranted. I support that decision and further believe that the board has no role to play in the matter as it has evolved. Further pursuit of this matter is not likely to achieve any benefit for the district. Rather, it's only likely to unnecessarily expose the district to potential liability, and I recommend that the board take no further action on the matter. I'll be happy to try and answer any questions.
To start off, this director who was using office equipment, personnel, staff time, computers, is not staff. She is an elected director. She's not personnel. I wanted to read the August 20th, 2008 letter to Commander Brian Haskell, the Sheriff South Station. Personnel use of, to further bring some questions towards you, Alex. Personal use of public facilities for private gain. Dear Commander Haskell, it has recently come to our attention that Oceana Community Service District staff time and facilities may have been used by various individuals to support their personal business and political endeavors. This involves using district computers for personal files. A directory entitled Barbara M. has been established on the computer file server for the district. The directory includes 39 computer files of a personal and political nature, all apparently pertaining to the Oceano Community Service District Director, Barbara Mann. A listing of files in the directory is attached
There's no proof of whoever put this material on there.
Jim, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read this because this needs to be open to the public to Oceano Improvement Association. That's not anything to worry about. But files 35 and 36 appear to be valid district use. In these files, and there was a lot of files, but there's not really that many that pertain to this, but we have in an interview with district staff member, I was advised that former GM Mitch Cooney worked on one or more Director Mann's election campaigns, and that Director Mann has periodic access to district computers. I also know that former GM Cooney was, and Director Mann has long been heavily involved in the Kiwanis organization. I do not, however, have any direct information regarding place these files on the district computer system. The one said some of the files that we have here is a vote for Barbara Mann. She's the Mann OCSD director with her address on the bottom. That's election. That's running for an election. District director, four-year term, written to the Telegram Tribune on district files. Kiwanis with Sheriff Pat Hedges' name at the bottom, Lieutenant Ben Ball at the top. A bake sale. And then there's a Central Coast Senior Center bulk mail postage here, which was a file. There's many other files. There's one with Couch Towing. A list of people here. When this came about, relieving these from our server is fine, but removing them out of district office so that they are not accessible for public records access, I do not believe is acceptable. So I made our public records request, hoping to bring this forward at least to the public. I had contacted the Sheriff's Department. I got a sheriff's report, 5 pages. Ultimately, there is not much nothing in the 5 pages that say anything about an investigation here. Alex, you wrote in a letter to us, based upon my understanding of the facts, I believe that the investigation report mistakes the facts in some significant particulars and completely ignores others. Misuse of public funds. Public funds may not be used for personal purposes. The starting point for any analysis concerning the misuse of public funds begins with a principle.
It's been dealt with by the general manager currently. That should be the end of it. Okay.
Jim, since you're going to try to cover this up, I'm going to let you cover it up, and I'm going to let you be responsible for covering it up.
Is there other board comment on this item? Vern?
I don't really have any comment. I did notice one of those letters in there is a copy of something I sent out. I don't know how it got in the computers, but one of those things is that was in there is something that was a letter that I wrote, but I didn't write it on that computer, and I don't know how it got in that computer. Mm-hmm. So I know there's one item in there that's not Barbara's. But I don't know. But beyond that, I don't know anything more about it.
Pamela, any comment?
I have a question for legal counsel. Are elected officials personnel? They are not personnel in this, or in as it is coming out here. Are we treated as personnel?
Are you speaking with regard to the district policy or the state statute?
I guess I'm asking in several ways because I guess I'm treated as a contract worker in some ways. The electorate voted for me, so I guess the
short, maybe glib answer to your question is it all depends. There are some statutes which, for certain purposes, treat elected officials as if they were employees. There are other statutes that treat them separately. In this case, I believe the criminal statute that I discussed in my memorandum doesn't distinguish between employees and other people. You just can't use public assets for personal use as defined in the statute. With regard to the policy that was adopted by the board, it applies on its face to both elected officials and employees, on its face. And of course, the two remedies that are specified in the policy, termination of employment and denial of system access, only one of those could possibly apply to an elected official because the board doesn't have...
Yes, I did that. And in the 10 years that Kiwanis has been here, we've raised and spent more than $80,000 in this community, $10,000 a year. Excuse me. So, yes, I used the computer when I shouldn't have, and you know what will freeze over before I would ever use it again. I have a computer. I did not use all those. I don't appreciate all of these things being said, done, sent to the media. But I can't control what certain directors do.
Alex, in your letter to the board of directors dated 10/4/2008, you stated, "I cannot emphasize enough that you should keep this information strictly confidential as an attorney-client communication. Please note that the district attorney is not Barbara Mann, individual attorney, with attendant protections for attorney-client confidences. As noted in California Rules Professional Conduct for Lawyers Rule 3-600 with authority Ward versus Superior." It sounds like you were more or less representing her as a client rather than representing the board as a whole. I don't know where this will go from here. It may not go anyplace. But we had an election. There was files on our computers with elected director, and she's just admitted that she did use the computers. She says that these computers were not used by her for her election. However, if a director talks to a general manager or staff and they say, "Will you write a letter for me? And will you type this up?" That means that they're not using it, but they are directing staff, which uses staff time, personnel for their election campaign.
Bill, this
election
sounds to me
campaign.
Like a baseless allegation that you have no proof to back up.
It's right here, Jim.
I don't see any proof there.
You know, what do you want from me? Do you want my firstborn?
No, I just, you know, personally, I'd like to see an apology for using our staff computers. That's not acceptable.
I said, I'm sorry I used it. I will never use it again. I haven't used it in a long time. And things on there under Barbara M., I didn't put all those there, Bill. And I'm really tired.
To thoroughly look into. He went through every single one of the documents that were forwarded to us for the investigation, read the section, read the exceptions to the section, and the fact that that particular government code section simply has as a remedy, a civil remedy, which requires the person who violates it to reimburse the government entity for the loss of time or computer space. After reading that, he went and called the district attorney's office and conferred with them on the issue. And after investigating interviewing everybody, including the director involved in this incident. The case was unfounded at that point based on what I feel is the solid exceptions that are based in the government code section. So I feel that we did a thorough and competent investigation, and I stand by that investigation.
And we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Public comment on this item.
Mary Lou Siasciano. Well, I'm kind, you know, I really hope this is the last meeting we have to hear this petty stuff, because we have so much to do. But the thing that, you know, I can't stand waste. I can't stand it in my home, and I can't stand it in my town, right? And I want to know how many hours Director Bookout has wasted of our legal counsel's time, you know, hunting down. We know that you are the Mr. Lawsuit of America. We got that. Okay, you cost this town $70,000. And I also would like to know, President, was it just this director picked out for review into the computers, or was Mr. Dahl picked out? And was Mr. Dahl's cell phone records, did he only make business calls for the district? I mean, you know, come on. We can go on and on with this stuff, but this doesn't do anything to help this town. It does absolutely nothing. It wastes Mr. Seamus's time. So at what point do we put a limit on a director who is in the last few hours of holding seat of wasting our money? You have to put a limit on it. No more Seamus calls. No more attorney calls. That's it. It's over with.
Thank you. Other public comment? Advised by counsel that there was no action for the board to take on this matter. I think we'll move on to item number 9B. That is employer-paid member contribution to CalPERS. Alex?
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. The item before you is consideration and recommended adoption of Resolution 2008-22, a resolution of the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors confirming the district's plan for employer-paid member contributions. The background and discussion is as follows. As the board knows, the district participates in the California Public Employees Retirement System, also known as CalPERS. The district has a longstanding policy of paying the employee's share of contributions to the system. Under the federal tax law, this contribution could be treated as an additional non-taxable employer contribution to the retirement plan, or it could be treated as additional taxable wages to the employee, depending upon certain circumstances. In 1980, the California legislature adopted Government Code Section 20691, intended to authorize treatment of the contributions as an additional non-taxable employer contribution if certain requirements are met. In 1985, CalPERS obtained a private letter ruling from the Internal Revenue Service confirming that if the requirements of Government Code Section 20691 are met, then the contribution is non-taxable to the employee for federal income tax purposes. Government Code Section 20691 generally requires that in order to be non-taxable to the employee, the sponsoring governmental agency must make the contributions for all employees of a designated classification on the same basis. Apparently, in the early or mid-1980s, CalPERS recommended that each governmental agency participating in its program adopt a formal resolution memorializing its contractual obligation or policy to make the contributions on this basis. District staff has reviewed its records and has not been able to locate such a ruling or resolution. In Revenue Ruling 2006-43, the Internal Revenue Service has advised that if a governmental agency adopts such a resolution before December 31, 2008, then it will not question the taxability of payments made for these purposes before that date or thereafter. Failure to adopt such a resolution does not mean that such payment necessarily will be treated as taxable to the employee, but it is an open...
Looking for this now?
Apparently, CalPERS sent out a reminder recently that said the window is closing, get this accomplished. I was contacted by the payroll clerk for the district because she knew generally what was going on, but there were a number of options about how you could structure the resolution depending upon your circumstances, and I was asked to help make those determinations for her. So the resolution that you see is largely a CalPERS form, just selecting out the options that apply to the district.
Okay, Bill, questions?
No.
Barbara?
None.
Fair? Is there a public comment on this item? Hearing none. Director comments? Pamela?
I think we should go ahead and adopt it and get it on the books quickly.
Bill?
We don't have much time.
I agree.
I agree with that. Barbara?
Yes.
And Brian? Okay, with that, do we have a motion?
I move that we approve resolution number 2008-22.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve our resolution 2008-22. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 9C is consideration of Board of Directors meetings for November 26th and December 24th. Gina?
Well, I don't think the general manager intended to have two meetings this month, but he seems to have taken care of one. The regular scheduled board meetings of November 26th and December 24th conflict with the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday periods. In the past, if workload is permitting, these board meetings have been canceled. Currently, the general manager feels that the workload should accommodate having only one meeting in November and one in December. Realizing, of course, that if needed, a special meeting could also be called. The recommended action before your board is to, by board discussion, public comment, motion second, and roll call vote, cancel the regularly scheduled meetings of the Board of Directors on November 26th and December 24th.
Okay. Questions from the board? Public comment on this item? Right at the holiday.
Just so the board knows in making this decision, there is another issue that is lurking out there that might dictate having another meeting in the first week of December. So it's entirely possible that you will have two meetings in December. It's just not according to the current schedule. So it's very possible that we'll be coming back not long after the Thanksgiving holiday.
I kind of think maybe we ought to cancel these two, and like he said, if he has to call another one, or if you want a special meeting called for what you want, we could do, but not the day before Thanksgiving or the day before Christmas, you know, because we can add mm-hmm. another meeting in there with, what, 72 hours notice? Or
right.
Yeah.
And this special item is going to be coming up that you're talking about. Is there something you can share more about that?
There are some issues associated with the proposed water sale to the city of Arroyo Grande. And there are some issues associated with the timing of the mobile home park transaction that might dictate a special meeting. We haven't quite got those sorted out yet, and there is if we do have a special meeting that first week in December, there is an issue associated with when Director-elect Lucy takes her seat on the board. She's supposed to take her seat within a certain time period after the county clerk certifies the election, and I was going to research it this afternoon, and I just didn't get a chance to take a look at it, and I'd have to see how that plays into the possibility of scheduling a special meeting.
Once it's once the election is certified, can the newly elected official, they can go get sworn in It doesn't have to be at our board meeting, I believe.
I believe you're correct, but there is an outside time limit within which they have to be sworn in, and there is a rule about doing it at the next meeting. I'm just not sure if it makes a difference whether it's a special meeting or a regular meeting. But that's something we'll be able to get sorted out within the next day or two. And
26th open and let the general manager cancel that if things work out to where when time comes closer to the meeting, instead of making it a final cancellation at this point, leave that up to the general manager.
The general manager has already advised canceling that meeting.
Right here.
Also, since the general manager's out with a health-related issue, the ad hoc committee, I think for tomorrow, should also be canceled because the general manager will not be able to attend.
Exactly. Which is going to put off the ad hoc until he's able to come back. And I'm just hoping to get this issue taken care of before the end of the month.
I'm going to make a motion that we cancel both the November 26th and December 24th meetings per the advice of the general manager from his November 12th memo.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we cancel the meetings of November 26th and December 24th. Was there a public comment on this item?
We did that already.
Okay, thank you. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
No.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. The matter passes 4-1. Administrative item number 9D, a request to decorate antique light poles on Highway 1. Gina?
Yes, we've received a letter from the president of the Kiwanis Club of Oceano requesting permission to put holiday decorations on the antique light fixtures that go from Belridge down to Chacho's. And they would go up around Thanksgiving and be removed by the third day in January. And I know she's in the audience if you have any questions.
Okay. Questions from the board?
Anyone have any questions?
I wanted to know if they'd be lighted or just...
What we're thinking is like a big red bow would go right underneath the light globe.
An old-fashioned
then,
look.
Yeah, and then garland down the post, just a real simple
type of thing.
That sounds really good. Thank you.
Christmas.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the request of the Kiwanis Club of Oceana to decorate our antique light fixtures along Highway 1 for the holidays. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
I'll abstain on this since I'm a member of the Kiwanis.
President Hill?
Yes. Passes 4-0 with one abstain. Okay, we'll move back to item number 8, utility items. The first is cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines. Gina?
This item refers to the damages sustained to the district sewer and water systems during the 2003 December earthquake. Public Contracts Code Section 22050C1 requires that if the district orders any action, after the emergency has been declared, the Board of Directors shall review the emergency action at its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regularly scheduled meeting thereafter until the action is terminated, and to determine by 4/5 vote that it is needed to continue the action. The recommended action before the board is to have board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call determined by 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue this action.
I keep hoping that this will be done in my lifetime.
Is there public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move that we continue the emergency cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we continue the declaration of emergency following the San Simeon earthquake for cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 8B is CDBG Sewer Repair and Replacement Project Award of Bids. Gina?
I'm going to give you the recommendation first and then the discussion. The recommended action is to review the information presented regarding how staff's recommendations for the selection of the biological monitor, the archaeology Native American monitor, and the soils inspector for the sewer repair and replacement project. And after incorporating any comments from district council, a trench backfill is also required. District staff issued requests for proposals for biological monitoring, archaeological and Native American monitoring, and soils inspections. And we have tonight Doug Grosshart and Mark Owens here from the Wallace Group, who will describe their process and give you their recommendations.
Good evening. I'm Doug Grosshart. We're gonna let Mark stay seated unless I need him. I think I can handle this by myself, but we'll see. I'm with Wallace Group. We're the district engineers, and this is pertaining to the earthquake damage, the sewer project that I've spoken to you several times before in the past regarding. It's CDBG grant funded and some DRI grant funding as well, so it's time sensitive to have it completed somewhere in the April range, and we're on schedule to do that. In speaking with the county of San Luis Obispo, there's a very good chance of extension of that should we run into some great weather issues or something like that, but we've already accounted for that in our scheduling. I'd just like to make one point of clarification in the wording just before I go any further. Specifically, there are two different issues: the archaeological and Native American, biological and soils. They're all professional services, and for those we issued a request for proposals, and those are criteria for selecting our chosen monitors or chosen consultants would be qualifications based and not price based. And the only time we can go beyond qualifications based and go on price is if all are deemed equally qualified. In this case, it just so happened that was the case, but we didn't want it. I don't want there to be any appearance of we did it on price, because we didn't. We addressed everyone based on qualifications first. As for the construction, which is the next item after that, that was based on, we had a base bid and it was as advertised in the specifications. It was to be awarded to the low bidder on the base bid, and then we looked at additive alternates after that. To go on to the selection of the biological monitor, we issued 7 RFPs to Althaus and Mead, LFR, LSA, Moro Group, Padre Associates, Rincon, and Tenera. And we received three proposals back from Padre, Rincon, and Moro Group. They were all to exceed for, and then $28,925 for Rincon and $32,775 for Padre, is that all of the segments requiring biological monitoring were in what we called the base bid. We weren't sure how much bang for our buck, so to speak, we were going to get until we got the bids back from the contractors. So we had to issue a base bid of a set number of segments, and then from there we could go to additive alternates. Being that all the biological monitoring segments were in that base bid, we could get a hard money number. So based on equal qualifications, the fact that they were the author of the monitoring report and more familiar with the site, and the fact that they were low price, we recommend the Moro Group for biological monitoring. Do you want to handle these all three separately or go with all three at once?
We should probably do them separately in case there's any questions or individual items. Does that sound reasonable?
Fine.
Okay. Is there public comment on this item? Hearing none, any other board comment? A motion.
I move that we grant this bid for biological monitoring to Moral Group on Moral Group's recommendation.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the staff recommendation and go forward with the Moral Group. May I have a roll call, please, Jean?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Brookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Okay. Moving on.
Okay, now we'll move on to archaeology and Native American monitoring. These segments, just to give you a little background, there are some that are outside of the base bid, so that if they were additive alternates that we didn't select, we didn't want to get a price for them. So our pricing, albeit that is not the most important thing that we're judging this on, but our pricing is an hourly rate and not a lump sum. We sent out 7 RFPs for archaeology and Native American monitoring as well to CRMS, Central Coast Archaeology, LSA, Gibson Archaeology, Heritage Discoveries, that will hopefully ensure efficient monitoring management. The Native American monitors for CRMS will be Patricia and Douglas Knowlton. On another issue of qualification, LSA wrote the original archaeological report for the project, and CRMS wrote the archaeological monitoring plan, so they were both equally familiar with the project site and the requirements. So, having first determined that both firms were equally qualified, we compared the hourly rates submitted by each firm, and CRMS quoted the lower rate of $52.50 an hour for both archaeological and Native American monitors. LSA was higher, and they had split out their quotes based on monitoring and Native American monitoring. So due to the fact that they're equally qualified and that CRMS had a lower hourly rate, we recommend CRMS as archaeological and Native American monitors for this project.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the board? Comment from the public on this item?
I just have a quick question. Is that based on your 23K for that line item, or was that a 19K for that? What's your available funds?
Oh, I'm sorry. So you're talking these numbers that I said?
Right.
Okay, yeah, the 19, all three of the lump sum numbers.
So on the hourly one, though.
Oh, well.
What's the available now?
Oh, there is no lump sum on this because the actual scope would not be determined until the contractor was selected.
So how many hours do you guesstimate there needing to be in this line item?
Our total sum for that, I don't believe I have that. Do you have the estimate with you? I mean, we have the number, I just don't know if I brought it. I can get that information for you, but I don't have that file with me. Do you have it, Mark?
I think we have $20,000 for the archaeological and $12,250 for the Native American.
Okay. And comparatively, the other, that was for CRMS, the other firm would have been.
So, sorry.
Just some scratch notes here, but yeah, the archaeology, about $20,000 for the archaeology,
uh-huh.
And Native American monitoring, about $12,000, about $250.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, I haven't been able to read the scope of work, and it just seems a little
It was the original. Just to bring you up to speed on it, we put 10 segments, and I have an exhibit. There are 10 segments that were in the base bid, and being that we had a set amount of money with which to work from the grant funding, we performed an estimate, thought, okay, these 10 segments will get us under our limit, our grant limit, and then we can pick and choose the add alternates from there to get the largest number of segments. But because we didn't know what our bids were going to come in at, and we needed to issue RFPs for all of these services, we could not state it's segments X, Y, and Z. We could only say it's these segments are the base bid, these are the additive alternates, what would your hourly rate be and what are your qualifications? So that's why we don't have a set number for that, and we haven't entered into a, being that we haven't entered into a contract with anyone, we haven't established, until we establish the contractor, we haven't established which segments will be worked on. And from there we could get a lump sum that we could have them work to. And we could provide that to the board once we finalize the contractor. Then we can finalize, give or take, the monitoring requirements. And if at the next meeting, if that's something that the board, we of course would like to move as quickly as possible, but if there's some reservations, if there is an emergency meeting or at the next meeting, if we can finalize the contractor, then we could come back with a lump sum for the other.
Well, these again are potential contractors that are familiar with the project. And the did we review the? I know we don't have a not to exceed here because it's an hourly rate, but we got something of some kind of confidence that the bid is not going to exceed our allowable
right
total funding for the project.
Here's how it works is. We have our base bid, and we have the amount of grant funding that's left for construction. So we could take our base bid, low bidder contractor that we haven't dealt with yet, and then from there, it's going to be their scope is exactly the same. That whichever monitor you went with, and one is $52.50 an hour, the other is $55 an hour and $75 an hour. So. You could take our rough numbers and divide it. The archaeological monitoring will be 5% higher, 2.5% higher for the other monitor, and then the Native American monitoring will be almost 50% higher. So just a little scratch calculations there that should give you an idea.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Finish out public comment. Board comment, then?
No, so I understand it's more or less a floating of what we can actually kind of finish up above
right.
and beyond what's the base contract.
Right. Even
so we took the worst base in the base.
Correct.
Okay.
But the most in need of repair, yes.
Yes. And I think you just have to go with the least costly of any of these to get the most you can out of them. And you need these monitors. There's no out.
Correct.
Bill, any comment?
You know, I like what I see here, so.
Vern? Barbara?
No.
I think you've... researched this and done your due diligence on it, so I'm impressed with your effort. Do we have a motion?
I would move that we approve the granting of this RFP to the CRMS for archaeological and Native American monitoring according to staff recommendations.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to proceed with the staff recommendation. And approve the agreement with CRMS. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Continuing to move on.
The next item is the soils RFP, the same scope. So we went with the lowest hourly rate, which was GSI Soils, Inc. at $80 per hour, which is $4 per hour lower than the next highest proposal. With that in mind, we recommend GSI Soils, Inc. as the soils inspector for this project because they're equally as qualified as the other firms and their overall cost is the lowest and most competitive. And again, to clarify, just on one final belaborment of a point, is that the reason for the hourly rate on this as well is all of the segments that are open trench will require soil compaction testing. And being that we didn't know how many segments we would be doing, we couldn't give them a set number of segments to bid to.
Okay. Other questions from the board?
No.
Do you have experience working with GSI previously?
Yes, we've worked with all four of the firms and mm-hmm. found them all to be equally qualified for the project.
Very good. Barbara?
Nothing.
Burr? Public comment on this item? Hearing none?
Are they local?
Yes.
Okay.
Where are they located?
San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, they're San Luis Obispo.
Okay. Okay.
Do we have a motion then for this one?
Then I would move that we select the GSI Soils Inc. as a soils inspector for this project according to the staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to move forward with the staff recommendation to engage GSI Soils Incorporated for the soils monitoring portion of the project. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. And then on to item four, which is the major construction part.
Correct. And this comes down to lowest bid. So this one is not necessarily, they all have to be qualified, but as the specifications dictated, the lowest bidder would be determined by the lowest bidder on what we call the base bid, which were 10 segments. On your, I've also, just to clarify, I've given you an 11 by 17 color map showing the original. The previous district engineers determined that 29 segments would require repair of alternates that we're recommending that you also enter into contract for. And there were only 5 segments of the original 29, according to the bids that we received. 5 segments of the original 29 will require additional funding, but 24 of the 29 will be taken care of. The original estimate was, I believe, somewhere around 13, 14 segments. So that was a positive for the district, definitely. We recommend that you review the attached bid summary, the bid analysis, and this staff report to consider awarding the sewer repair and replacement contract to R. Baker of Arroyo Grande for a total contract amount of $587,645, which consists of the total base bid amount of $376,672, and then additive alternate segments 8, 11, 12, 17, 21, 22, 24, and 25, which total $210,973. And upon reviewing that, we recommend that you direct staff to issue the notice of award to R. Baker. The funding for this project is via grant funding in the amount of $322,126 from community development block grants and $660,000 from Disaster Recovery Initiative. The total program budget, which you have to bear in mind, isn't just construction. It's not just bricks and mortar, as they call it. It also includes county permitting assistance, the design, the environmental studies and permitting, construction, which is no small part of it, the monitoring, which we've just covered, administration, and then any contingencies associated with construction and monitoring. We've put in 15% as a contingency. So this number that we have of 18 segments could go, we could get more if the contingencies or 15% contingencies are not used up in issues that may come up during construction. So it's possible that we could get more. Future CDBG funds may also be available, and staff, we have already applied for those. There was a lot of interest in CDBG funding this year. So there's no guarantees, but we've applied. Got to be in it to win it. So funding for the additional five segments that we have not been able to cover under this could first and foremost, as I said, be covered by any remaining contingency funding that we have. Location right next to each other, they all meet up at adjacent manholes. So if we save that and do that all under one separate contract at a later date, you would get a better price than were there three segments all over Oceano. We received bids from four different contractors. They are R. Baker Inc., Decal Engineering, R. Burke Corporation, and MGE Underground. And the base bids ranged from $376,672 to $429,011. As I said before, the low bid was submitted from R. Baker. And the base, the total bid with was the base bid was $376,672, and all of their add alternates, which would be the additional 13 segments, added up to $554,569.20. We split them up from there, but we're just providing you with the total of what the additive alternates added up to. If you look at the bid opening report, it's the little table. It's right after this staff report. It places them in order of overall cost. And you'll see that R. Baker was not only low on the base bid, but they were the lowest on the total add alternate cost as well. All four contractors are utilizing the same subcontractor also, which is Pacific Liners. And that's for segments 2 and 3, which go under the airport runway. So we couldn't do open trench in the middle of the runway, so it'll be lined with a cured-in-place piping that goes inside the line, the existing line. So we reviewed the base bid for determination of the apparent low bidder per the contract specifications. From there, we deemed that R. Baker was the low responsive and responsible bidder, and then we reviewed R. Baker's bids for the remaining additive alternates for determination of which segments could be repaired within the grant funding available to Oceano. As I said before, we had several criteria that we used for determining that, and we found the best way to handle this project with this current grant funding is as shown in the map. That would be leaving segments 6, 10, 16, 18, and 28 off of the current scope. And just to clarify, should additional contingency funding or additional CDBG funding become available prior to that R. Baker be selected and issue a notice of award for the base bid and the additive alternates as listed before.
Okay, questions from the board? Pamela?
I just had a question on the segments that are left out. What kind of shape are those in, and are there any health issues or problems there?
Utility Supervisor Davis could express if there are any immediate sanitary sewer overflows or anything in the area. I can speak specifically for the Pier Avenue segment 28. That's a very small repair, and it's not anything that's been an issue, and it's in the middle of a very busy street. So that's why we left that one out. And then Air Park Drive, we thought, could wait until we did all of it at once. And then the alley parallel to North Swing in segment 10, in our opinion, it's low flow there. The line is not in that bad a shape, so it could wait until future funds are available. Do you have anything to add?
Well, I don't really have any comments. I mean, we've been lucky so far. And I mean, I'm surprised at some of the bad spots in these lines that seem to still be working. But you know, I'm really happy we're getting on with the other, whatever it was, 15 sections.
Yeah, we were very pleased with the pricing we received. Definitely.
That's good. So the matter before us now is to do all of the items that are in red and not the ones in yellow or...
All the items in red and blue, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just to note, with the biological monitoring, Yeah, it's just the biological monitoring. All of the biological monitoring required is within the base bid. So even in future projects, you won't have to deal with biological monitoring for the five yellow segments. Some of them may require Native American monitoring and or archaeological, and they will all require soils. But we're getting, and I'd also like to note that two of the segments, segments 27 and segment 14, are in the Union Pacific Railroad and Caltrans. One is in Caltrans, one's in, and two, both are in Union Parent, to be any greater than any of the other segments. If there were was a any segment was deemed to have a large amount of infiltration and or inflow, that was given very high priority.
I know there's a pretty large drop in the elevation part of that road there on North Swing.
Right.
Yeah. So I figured, would have thought there would have been quite a bit of damage to those lines in there.
The alley next to North Swing, it didn't do as bad as actually North Swing itself, as far as the video goes. Mm-hmm. I've seen the pictures of North Swing, the street, right after the earthquake, and that was very bad. But the line where the alley is looks pretty decent.
Does that, the Grover Beach trunk line runs down North Swing?
Is yes.
That, okay, so that was... And that was repaired by Grover Beach before it was turned over to the sanitation district. Is that correct?
I wasn't here.
That's correct.
Okay.
I know it's fine now because the South County Sanitation District reviewed the lines prior to accepting them. There is one issue with the Grover Beach line that's on Mendel where it turns to the campground there, but that's being handled. There's some I&I there.
Okay.
Other questions? Public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none. Back to the board for a motion.
I move that we issue, that we have staff issue the notice of award to R. Baker for the repair of the sewer.
Do we have to say the total amount on that? No? Oh, second.
Okay.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the staff recommendation, make the award to R. Baker. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Brookhouse?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Doug. We appreciate it. Thank you. Item number 10, then, is an example. Okay, with that.
And I would anticipate this will be fairly brief.
We would ask then that if the public would excuse us. Certainly. Okay, we'll come to order following the executive session, and I'll ask council to provide us with a summary.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, with regard to item 10A, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 to meet with the agency's negotiator concerning property negotiations and to grant authority regarding terms, the property involved being an interest in the district's water entitlements, and the person or persons with whom the agency negotiator may negotiate being the authorized agent for the city of Arroyo Grande. The board met in closed session, discussed the matter. No action was taken.
Thank you very much. Moving on then to item number 11, report of district representatives. First, I attended the county strategic growth readiness workshop.
and this was on October 14th in San Luis Obispo. One of the handouts is, what is strategic growth? Strategic growth combines the now well-known, quote, smart growth concepts with results-oriented strategic planning that reaches goals effectively, including using land, energy, transportation, infrastructure, and water resources efficiently, building more compact, walkable communities with adequate infrastructure and resources, and planning neighborhoods near schools, recreation, jobs, and shopping. The one of the drivers behind this was some recent state legislation, Assembly Bill 32 and Senate Bill 375. The agenda included smart growth principles, county strategic growth amendments, the two state measures, Assembly Bill 32, Senate Bill 375, and the Sustainable Communities Strategy. There was a presentation on Community 20 community issues and concerns. They had a presentation also from county planning. And then the supervisors wrapped that up. I have quite a bit of material on it. The strategic growth principles, goals, and strategies for the county general plan. Principle 2 is strengthen and direct development towards existing communities. Principle 3 is foster distinctive, attractive communities with a strong sense of place. Principle 5 is provide a variety of transportation choices. They focus on things like bicycle lanes, public transit. Caltrans was represented there in terms of road and street maintenance. Encourage community and stakeholder collaboration, strengthen regional cooperation. So those are the goals. And again, I have quite a bit of material that was handed out regarding strategic growth, their vision for the year 2050, and the countywide rural plan for how the land uses, the rural land use, and how growth, affordable housing, water supply, and how that would enter into the equations, provision for agriculture. Growth areas would focus more around cities and towns, the already developed areas. What they're looking at primarily is more infill, and so that may or may not result in an advantage. A lot of people don't necessarily like the idea of big cities with lots of infill, so there's some room for discussion about that. So that was the meeting on strategic growth workshop. I also attended two meetings of the sanitation district in the interim. Did have the agendas here. Largely the subjects discussed at the sanitation district were the continuing rebuilding of the infrastructure at the sanitation district plant. And let's see, October 15th, they adopt also repairs and security arrangements for the Arroyo Grande Creek Pipe Bridge, which is in Arroyo Grande. The November 5th meeting, they reviewed natural gas distribution system upgrade, made a final payment on that since that work is complete. We authorized purchase of additional spill containment equipment. The digester number 2 work, payment number 4 for progress payment. Digester number 2 repair and coating progress payment. Trunk sewer accessibility project, there was a change order on that. And then the again, the update of the 2001 water recycling study. It was voted to go ahead with the water recycling study. Pismo Beach had already concluded a water recycling study last year. So I believe the four entities would participate through the sanitation district with the update of the recycling study. So it would be a four-way agreement rather than a five-way. And that was the sanitation district meetings. Bill?
I have nothing.
Vern?
Yeah, the Airport Land Use Commission was canceled. The airport, or the ad hoc, we met and we got much of the procedures worked out and down on paper, but we didn't get to the procedures for how to change procedures that the attorney was requesting looked at. So that's why we're meeting back again to go over that, those type of things. And Mike Wynn was there for much of the meeting and kind of going over how they do it in Napomo and that type of thing as well, and helped us out a lot with it. The Oceana Advisory Council met. We had a lot split that went fairly easy and simple, and there was a came before us the cell tower up on the top of the hill on the mesa, and we just decided that it was, you know, outside of our area. We weren't going to comment on it. The county was down improper, so they had to move it to the other location and get a new one for the original location that they were going to put a flap gate in at. That's pretty much about it for me.
Hey, Pamela.
I can report on the Fire Oversight Committee meeting that was October 10th, almost a month ago. Hope I didn't forget anything. One good thing that came up is they announced that John Bova was Citizen of the Year, was awarded Citizen of the Year by the Oceano Kiwanis, and he was very surprised, they said. And he was very embarrassed when they announced it at the meeting, so we get to see him blush a lot. And that was very nice. They were talking also about getting a grant for the fire truck. The fire truck, apparently, federal funds out there are $500 million for fire trucks. This is nationwide.
Wow.
It's so far they've spent $100 million, and they're talking 24 trucks nationwide, and we might have a shot at it. So we're looking at getting a shot at getting a fire truck, and we're talking probably it's $800,000 for the wheels, they said, $200,000 for the equipment to equip the wheels. So it's a lot of money. And they're hoping that they could do a 10% match. They're going to be talking with the North Chicago Fire Department that did get a fire truck by grant recently and get as much as they can about what to put in the application and so forth. But that we're working on that diligently. And that would be housed at the Aurora Grande Fire Department. It's a ladder truck. It's huge. And it has to be in a big garage. They're saying, I told them that we wanted to continue with a possible joint powers approach to the fire consolidation. We talked about kind of reducing the costs to us based upon maybe assessed valuation, and they're saying, well, most of the fire responses are EMS, which is mid-services, and not so much based on assessment. But we're looking at that. That will be a continuing study. And we're going to detail the cost assumption for that. So there's a lot of work to be done on that. Going together with the other cities and our other partners, and maybe going to Cuesta. It's at Allen Hancock College right now. That whole thing, the training for the firefighters is going to move to Lompoc, and it's too far for us. So they're looking into going to Cuesta and seeing what we can do. They think everybody's very interested in doing that. So that's another thing. Another thing in flux. So they talked about what their training was. They talked about the altimeter being out on engine 61. which we heard about today. So I'm kind of out of date with what's been going on with the fire department, but that gives you an overview.
Okay, thank you. Barbara?
I didn't have any committee meetings this month. However, I did attend two things in the community. One of the things at the Oceano Depot was a dedication of the caboose, which came from the family of John Loomis. Originally, it was down in Santa Maria. Then he got a hold of it and it set up there at Tar Springs and was falling apart. And after he passed away, or I don't know if it was before, I guess before he passed away, he gave it to the depot. And it was finally, they finished restoring it, and this was done by volunteers and money that the volunteers raised. No tax dollars, no Oceano dollar, OCSD dollars. There were more than 150 people in attendance at that celebration. And then on Veterans Day, they had a very nice program. There were about 75 people there for that, honoring our veterans. Those were the two things that went on at the depot, and I attended those. And that's all I have.
Okay. Any public comment on the reports? Hearing none, moving on to number 12 then, general manager items for discussion.
And I think we're going to tag team this one. I've got item A.
Okay.
The board's aware that we anticipated bringing the code to you for your October 22nd meeting, and you've been supplied a draft of the code and the staff report that was to accompany it. Because of the work that was going on, particularly on the border, and put him inside the code, he's also proposed a document retention policy being adopted. And should that go inside the code, or should it not go inside the code? And there are some issues there that need to be vetted, and I'm sure we'll get them talked through, but because he's been away so much, we haven't had an opportunity to do it. At the minimum, I think we'll fairly quickly reach resolution on what items we eventually want to get into the code, and we'll reserve room for them in the appropriate chapters and spaces, and then we'll probably bring the code to you for adoption, maybe with some numbering schemes revised a little bit to accommodate the other things we know are coming, and try and get the code, with whatever comments you have, of course, adopted, and then come along behind it and make the final decisions on whether these other things that he's been talking about do indeed we want to put them in the code or not, and not delay getting the code adopted to have them all vetted and ready to go, because the fear there is we might never get around to getting the code adopted if we do. So that's the status of that. I'll be happy to try and answer any questions. We hope to have a sit-down next week and get into some of the detail nitty-gritty of this, get it worked out, and then be back to you soon.
I had a question. It's because reading these ordinances that have been codified, it's hard to relate them to what was there before. And the person that did it, how did they work through those, and do they have a background or notes that we can use?
For every code section, at the end of the section, there is a reference.
Right.
And that should take you back to the original ordinance from which it came. And so what we did was we literally started with the oldest ordinances first, worked through trying to get them all into the code in some place, and literally lined them out as we got language accommodated into the code someplace. Then as we went back and worked our way back through the ordinances, when we found something that dealt with the same general topic, for instance, water, then what we did was we said, okay, was this language superseded someplace? If it was, exit out and we were done. If it was, right.
And particularly the water one is very difficult to go through. Personnel is real difficult to go through. Right. And I'm, you know, it's just a hard go.
Well,
it's
a hard go, and
I'd like to see some things
change. And certainly there are things in there that, as a matter of policy, once you sit down and absorb it, or maybe as we work through our way through situations, I don't have any doubt you're going to find things that you want to change. One classic example is that for a lengthy period of time there, we thought all the employees were at will. And some action was taken about a year and a half ago to make them no longer at will. Mm-hmm. However, when we went back through the ordinances, the operative ordinance that we found was from, I think, 92, that terminated at-will status for all the employees. All these provisions that you find in here about how the employees are treated, mm-hmm. they're from that old ordinance, because that's the one that's still in effect.
Maybe it just wasn't around, but they did make at-will employees.
Well, that may have been what was decided at the board as the policy or a decision that was made, but there was never an ordinance adopted to change the old ordinance.
So how do we modify the new one?
Well, once you have a policy decision to make here, the recommendation and the assumption we've been operating on is that, other than a little bit of tweaking here and there, you would adopt this. We would then have either an ad hoc committee or one of your existing standing committees start working its way, or maybe several standing committees, start working their way through various parts of the code to say, does this still make sense? This is what we got, but does this still make sense? And then when we come back, amendments in the future would be section thus and such of the code is deleted and the following is substituted in its place. That's the way the ordinances would read. Mm-hmm. So you would be able to track through the ordinances each change that occurs, precisely where it occurs, and precisely when it occurred. And because of the wonders of word processing, then all the staff has to do is go and make sure they modify the final document that we've got. And if the choice is to ultimately put it on the internet, load it to the internet, and you've owned us and such, we'll have to sort through those and get them taken care of over time. But the goal is precisely as you identified it.
Yeah.
Other questions, comment?
I don't think so. I'm right now on this one.
It's just a matter of kind of grinding through it, Liz, as yep. you already have.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, 12B was the Rolls-Royce replacement motor search.
And I think Phil's already answered that question.
Right.
That's a nice.
Then we have annexation. It sounds like Ryan.
Okay. At our last meeting, the special meeting that was called, Paul Hood came and talked to us kind of about what was going to have to happen, and I think ultimately it was decided that the mobile home park owners were going to file their application with LAFCO to annex into the district. To date, I'm not sure if they have done that, but two little wrinkles have kind of come up since then. The first one starts after our last meeting. It was decided that I would talk with Paul Hood and make any adjustments to the agreement as Paul thought was necessary to get through LAFCO and get this moving. We talked, I believe, 2 days later and made some very minor changes and included a couple of changes that the board had suggested as well. I think both of those changes were perhaps to Exhibit A, and we don't have this in front of us right now, but the changes that the board requested, we made a couple changes that Paul suggested. And then I got a call from Paul, I think later in the day, saying, well, you know, one thing we didn't really talk about is if they annex into the district, you're going to have to provide sewer system or sewer services, which in itself isn't a problem. And we really don't need to do anything as far as, you know, providing them the sewer services, except that the sewer lines belong to Arroyo Grande. So, and I really believe this is a small hiccup that will we'll figure out very easily either way we do it. And it seems like the two options are either to wheel sewer through Arroyo Grande, or alternatively, and I think what's the better option is Arroyo Grande has previously talked about giving us the sewer lines, two of which we need to provide water for, one of which is pumping its own water or somehow getting its own water. But because of how they're set in the area, if we were to just get the two mobile home parks that we're talking about, it would create a bit of a tooth in the annexation, which LAFCO was specifically created to kind of avoid. Paul still thinks it's not going to be a problem in getting just the two mobile home parks annexed, but he wants to talk to the owner of the third park and see if they will voluntarily annex into the district under the presumption and, I guess, agreement that they will not have to purchase water from Oceano. I believe they would still have to do their sewer through Oceano, but that's the other hang-up right now. We talked to Kevin, General Manager Walsh, not long before this meeting. He has been talking to, I believe, Paul Hood, and has a couple of calls into the owner of the third mobile home park. And he's going to continue to run with it. So I think he's going to give you a better update, next week when he's back in the office. He can talk to you individually about that. But that's where we stand. I'm going to be talking to Paul Hood later in the week to see where things stand and figure out, you know, if the owners of the mobile home parks are going to submit those applications. So, but it's not completely out of our hands, but there's not much for us to do right now until some action is taken by the other parties.
Yeah. Okay. Questions?
No.
Okay. Last item then public is the... Is there, first of all, public comment on this report?
Is there any way to find out if the owners...
Please come on.
Is there any way to find out if the owners
they're probably privy to it. I honestly don't know how much information Paul is willing to give out, but I think by contacting them, that might be.
You can find out from LAFCO. All you have to do is make an information request at the local agency formation commission in San Luis Obispo.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Any other comment?
Exceeds the MDL, I think it's called, the exceeds limits on various things, but because of the way the water testing is structured, even if a mobile home park or any well is exceeding, let's say, in nitrates at one point, they have like 3 months or 6 months until the next testing term to bring that into to bring that into line. And then usually after that, anyway, what I'm saying is that there's a lot of leeway for a situation to go on for a long time. So that park has been allowed to continue using its well, even though they do have problems. And while I take exception with the way the county monitors those wells, I really don't live there, so I have nothing to say about it. So what my question is, as I hope that they will agree to come in and be annexed into Oceano, but it's my understanding that currently right now Crocker Ellsworth is seeking permission to build 14 townhomes and a storage unit right next to the Kenmar Gardens, which is the mobile home that you're talking about. And I understand that he's contracted for water with you and hooking up to Oceano Water. Is that, maybe I need to be stand corrected?
I believe he has obtained a will serve letter from the district. That was probably a year and a half ago, maybe?
It's been renewed recently.
Okay.
Right. And it looks like there's a good possibility that he will that he will get permission if he makes the changes in the designed before the board of the before the unincorporated before the county, and he's going to have use these storage units as a buffer zone for the farming and the pesticides and things like that. So I guess my question is, if Mr. Ellsworth is it's determined that he can build these two-story condominium structures there, which would be right abutting up next to Kenmar Gardens, and he's going to be receiving water from you, and he's going to be, would he be considered? So I have a question about if that's going to be a problem, and I think that, you know, it's being, I think it looks pretty good for him that he's going to be able to get that permit to build those. So that, in my view, I would think that he would be required then to come in to, since he's getting water from you, I have no idea what that arrangement is, but it would seem to me that that whole area there should then be annexed into Oceano, which I think would be the best result because as a part of the unincorporated part of San Luis Obispo, we're kind of like stepchildren there, and no one really claims us. And we would really like to feel that we do belong somewhere and can take an active involvement in some community. So that's my question. I'm sure you can't answer it now because, you know, he hasn't gotten his permit, but I think it's on very close to him getting it. So I have a question about the water and the tunnel that you were talking about or that little tube in there. And what, you know, his disposition would be in that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Administrative Assistant Davis could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe as a condition of the will serve letter to Coker Ellsworth, they have to annex into the district.
And it's my understanding that their annexation has been approved by RAFCO.
Okay.
So.
So they would be. Annexed into the district per their application, and then the county approves building permits and so forth and projects of that nature as they do through all the unincorporated areas.
Can I get up one more time?
Okay. I think we need to move on. The last item on the General Manager's discussion would be the Prop 218 status.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about that very briefly. General Manager Walsh has, we've been in contact, and you know he wants to move forward. He thinks we need to move forward with the Prop 218 hearing. In order to do the Prop 218 hearing, we do have to give written notice out to property owners, and I think no sooner than 45 days after that notice goes out, there has to be a hearing for comment, protest, and just to move forward if it's going to be with or without the rate study. So,
when you have a 218 hearing, don't you? You have to say how much the increase is going, or
yes,
what it's going to cost them. So how can you determine what it's going to cost without the water study?
One thing you mentioned was that the possibility of having a 218 hearing now based on the current budget and what's projected in the current this year's budget, because that budget was based on having a rate increase halfway through this fiscal year, which is January 1, vice having a rate study which would determine a longer term outlook rather than just this year's budget, but a rate study could take several months to come to fruition. So,
do you want to go to the public twice with a 218?
That is one of the concerns
that he wants to
address. So those are the kind of issues of balancing act that we're going to have to look at.
Mr. President, I know that Steve Tanaka from the Wallace Group is planning on coming to the first meeting in December, if that meets with your approval, to do the presentation on the water and sewer rate studies.
That would be very good. Okay, is there any public comment on that item? Hearing none, moving to board member discussions. Pamela?
I have nothing.
Bill?
Nothing.
Barbara?
Nothing.
Brian?
Just one thing is we have all our committee assignments, and they come up in the first, going to be coming up again here real soon. And we've always sent a representative to the Oceano Housing Advisory Committee, and we've never addressed, since the Oceano Housing Advisory Committee has split, and there's an Oceano Advisory Committee and a Housing Advisory Committee, we've only been sending somebody to the Oceano Advisory Committee, and we've never addressed that split as whether we want to send somebody to that, to Housing as well, or what we want to do there. And so I think that might be something that we should discuss in the future. Whether we want to have a committee assignment for that.
Warrants for Kirk and Seamus?
There's never been a need for me to recuse myself from the Kirk and Seamus warrants, as Alex Seamus has stated many times, so I will vote.
Okay.
You're saying you won't vote on that?
I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to recuse myself because there is no need, as Alex has stated many times.
Okay.
Okay, are there any public comment on the warrants? Hearing none. Board comment or questions?
Thanks.
Has everybody looked them over? I move that we pay the bills.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to pay the warrants as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item 15, public comment. Any closing public comment? Hearing none, moving to written communications. Is there no written communications?
Aye. Would you excuse me, please? I have to leave.
Quite all right. We're adjourned.